while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
What I want to do today is to, I'm just standing in front of you to lead us. We're all going to do this together. We're going to reflect on the theme. So what I want to speak on today is reclaim the truth. There's so much information around us today because that's the age we're living in. We're living in an age where there's so much information. Everywhere you turn, there's a form of information going on. Social media, billboards, and all different places, even through the unsociable styles, the graffiti. I read a story about a Christian who must have been very zealous about evangelism. And what they did, they went on the wall and used graffiti and wrote, "Jesus is the answer," and they put the exclamation mark. And of course, somebody who must have been maybe not a Christian, I'm sure, the person went back to what he wrote, and he wrote at the bottom of it, "What is the question?" And the conversation just carried on, and Jesus is the answer, and the person wrote, "What is the question?" So we see all this information all around us. People, even when they try to share the information, sometimes the approach defeats the purpose. Because that's who we are. We're zealous to spread information. But it's amazing to me that we have so much information around us, but there's not so much wisdom. And this is the reason why we need to understand this theme. How do we reclaim the truth? And of course, the word reclaim indicates that something is lost and we need to get it back. And I was thinking, as I was preparing for this message, I thought, there must be a symbol. Then I thought about that. It's a power tussle. They're trying to push on each side. The system of this world, they're trying to pull us away from God, and we're trying to pull ourselves back to Jesus. It's a survivor of the fittest. And every one of us, whether you're young or you're old, every one of us has to deal with a challenge about maintaining the truth. And I have a great sympathy for our children. When they go to school, we treat them, we teach them the way of the Lord. But when they go to school, they compromise because suddenly they realize they are in the midst of so many children from different backgrounds. And they're thinking, I don't want to be the odd. And they try to compromise what they've been taught. And you know what happened? Before they realize, they get into trouble. And we have to constantly remind our children, that is not who you are. You are a child of the light. You don't belong to the darkness. And the more we support them, that's why it's so important. The word of parenting is never done until it's done. You keep walking alongside them. You have to get our priority and put our children, do our best to support them, because the fact that you've trained them the way of the Lord does not mean they will always live as Christian. They struggle, just like all of us as well. As adults, we have our struggles in different areas of life. We say to ourselves, we find ourselves in a situation of doing something, and we say to ourselves, never again would I do it. Let's talk about finance. You go out window shopping, and mistakenly you took your credit card with you or any form of card. Well, you know, I don't mean to pick on the ladies, but you you are window shopping, and suddenly you see that bag. So that will match my shoes, and I'm coming back to get that. And by the time you realize, you spend the money that you have not planned for. And you come back home, you're angry with everybody. I am. I'm talking from experience. You are angry with everybody. And you might even say to yourself, never, never would I do again. And by the time you realize, You go back again and you say, well, this time I promised myself I won't do it. Then you do it again. And then you do it again and again. And there are so many issues in our lives that we say to ourselves, we will never do it again. And by the time we realize, we find ourselves in the same situation. Because none of us is perfect. Life is a process. And somebody said our life is work in progress. It's never done until it's done. Never should anyone think they've been Christian for such a long time and now they get it together. There is never going to be a time when the devil will wash his hands off you. You become so holy and Satan said to you, well, I can't go to John. He said, well, that's not going to happen. Because if that was the case, when Moses died, the devil came looking for his body. I mean, he should have said, well, the guy is died. He's dead. Let's leave him alone. He came back. And I suspect that if he had been successful in getting the body of Moses, he was up to something really terrible. He could have entered into his body and go show up somewhere else and say, Moses has resurrected to defeat the purpose of resurrection. That was his agenda. But God knew his agenda. And it was God who buried Moses. Nobody knew where Moses was buried. So he was a loser all the way from the beginning, the devil was. But I say we should never, ever at any point look at ourselves as having arrived because our life is work in progress. So let's talk about reclaiming the truth. And as I've said earlier, reclaiming the truth, it means something has lost. Now let's start by asking ourselves, what is the truth? This is not the first time the question has been asked. Pilate, when Jesus was brought before him for trial, he asked the question in John 18:37-38. He said, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Then Pilate said to him, what is the truth? That's right. The question we should ask ourselves is, what is the truth? And if we don't know the truth, how do we recognize the counterfeit? There was a time in America where they were really struggling with counterfeit dollar everywhere, people printing money. And they said, well, the intelligence service said, we have to stop this. What are we going to do? So what they did, they took the original authentic dollar and they trained people to know everything about that original so that when they come across the counterfeit, they will recognize that. The same principle applies to us as God's people. If we don't know the truth, how do we know when we see the look-alike? It's not possible. How do we know the truth? But the truth is, the truth, according to human system, is not always correct or reliable or even stable. It's constantly changing. You know, what is true today, if you come back, it may not be the truth tomorrow. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But the truth, according to the word of God, is constant, is totally reliable. We know that he is the truth. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can bank your life on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ because it never changes. The truth of this world, you come back tomorrow and it's gone. You can never rely on the truth of this world. And that is why it's so important for us as God's people to really understand what the truth is. How do we know the truth? This is the starting point. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth that makes you free is the truth that you know. For instance, if you've supported somebody, maybe you met an elderly woman on the bus, and you know, trying to support them get on the bus, and somehow you needed to visit them, you visit them. Somehow you supported them, and when they were writing their will, they wrote, left something for you in the will. They left something for you in the will. What they didn't do is to put your details in the will. Now, of a truth, maybe they, let's assume they left the £1 million for you. Of a truth, you are 1 million rich, but that truth is not setting you free. Because the truth is the truth that you are not aware of. The truth that makes a person free is the truth that you know. The truth that you don't know, it doesn't set you free. Quite often we think you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, but it's only the truth that you know that sets you free. And the way to know the truth as God's people is to get stuck in this world. You read the word of God when you feel like, you read the word of God when you don't feel like, until you feel like. It becomes a matter of life and death to you. That's how it works. And I say to you, the word of God is such that you can watch TV for 12 hours and you're steady, you're on. As soon as you take the Bible to read, 5 minutes, you're nodding off. But you know why? The devil doesn't want you to know the truth. And you have to be intentional to get into the word of God. If you need to get to bed early and then, you know, just quickly maybe rest from the busyness of the day, and you get up in the night and said, you know, I'm giving myself 30 minutes. If I can only read 10 verses. If you read 10 verses every day for 6 days, that's 60 verses. You don't have to read a whole chapter. If you are at the point where you are not able to read the whole chapter, read few verses every day. 10 verses every day is better than 60 verses that you read at the end of the day. It's just like you not eating on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all the way to Saturday. I said, I'll bring all my food from Monday to Saturday. I'm going to eat them. It's impossible. They might be able to give you all the food, but can you eat all of them? It's impossible. The same thing we do when it comes to the scripture. We try to postpone, I'll read it. It doesn't work like that. Every few verses that you read every day, it goes a long way. So really and truly, how do we know the truth? We need to get stuck into the word of God. We read the word of God when we feel like. We read the word of God when we don't feel like, until we feel like. It really becomes our lifestyle. This is what we must do. A commitment to a life of studying God's word. And you know, God's word is his voice. As God's people, we need to learn how to know God's voice. There are many voices out there. And if you don't know the voice of God, you know, you get overtaken by strange voices. For instance, if you are a single lady, again? Sorry, but listen to what I want to say. If you are a single lady, a Christian single lady, and somebody walk up to you, a man in the church, a Christian man, single man, and walk up to you and said, so, the Lord said, you are my wife. Well, what you say to them is, thank you very much for sharing that. But the Lord has not told me. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm not saying you're lying. But I need to hear God speak to me as well. The Bible tells us that we should not despise prophecy, but prove all things. In other words, if a single man walk up to you as a single lady and said to you, you know, the Lord said you are my wife. You said, well, thank you for sharing that information, but I need to pray as well. And if you are a Christian lady, you don't know how to hear God's voice, you're stuck. That may even be your life partner. But because you don't know how to hear God's voice, you think, well, you know, it is just a joker. It's not. The Lord is maybe sending that person to you as well. And can I also say this? Don't judge a book by its cover. A man may walk up to you. The person may not look anything you're looking for in a man. You think, you, me, huh? For where? Don't judge a book by its cover. God works in mysterious way. The man that is standing before you for now may not look anything of any qualities you're looking for in a man. Because God is hiding the gifting and the blessing that he has prepared for the life of that man. And all God is looking for is, would my daughter listen to my voice and respond the way I want? If you are a person who knows how to listen to God, you take it to the Lord in prayer. If he hears you, you'll be honest to say to God, Lord, if not for what you are saying to me, it's not my style. Is that person is really not the person that I want to marry. But because you have said so, I'm going to say yes. And the moment you say yes, maybe not immediately, as you get into that relationship, opportunities opening for that man, the Lord promoting that man, extending in territory, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, if I've not prayed, I would have said no, get lost. And now see what the Lord has done. It is so important. Not only for marriage, but for different decisions we make in life. Financial decision, decision about our children, decision about where we'll go, where we'll live, where to work. Don't let money determine the job you do. The Lord may take you into that job with very small salary because God is about to do a shaking in that organization and they're going to promote you. Although you're coming in with small salary, but God is about to do something that will really surprise you. And as soon as you come in with small salary, God does a shaking and the whole place, they shake it right to the ground. And they say, you're getting promoted. I said, me? I'm not deserving. And say, yes, God is promoting you. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't take a job based on the money. Take the job because God says so. Go and live in a place because God says so. You marry somebody because God says so. Go on this holiday because God says so. All those things that we don't pay attention to is so important. As Christians, we must learn how to hear God speak to us. And if you are not in relationship with God, even when God speaks, you will still ignore. And again, let me finish with the lady. Ladies, sorry. I'm just trying to flip the coin by saying, I've been talking about not judging a book by a cover. If you look at a man you think is not my class and you dismiss them, you may actually see another person that you think they have everything you're looking for. They may not be for you. Either way, don't judge a book positively or judge a book negatively. Judge everything you judge by listening to God. Are you listening to me? Say amen.
Amen.
You need to learn how to listen to God. We need to know how to hear God's voice speak to us in this life journey. There are so many challenges already. Can you imagine you come to church day after day, you've been fed with the word of God, and you go out there, you make a decision that not even a non-Christian would do. Who have you been listening to? What have you been hearing when you come to church? We need to learn how to listen to the word of God. It's so important. If we're going to be able to separate counterfeit, the original from what is not original, we need to know that. And the other thing I want us to look at, let's look at the scripture that was read earlier. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just quickly look through the verses 1-9 is telling us about the warning. And he says, we're warned to be aware and be careful that the truth of God's word will become an old fashion. If you look at that, he said, but you know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so on and so forth. It's a long reading. The word of God, there's coming a time where it will be old-fashioned. And somebody, you say to somebody, I'm a Christian, oh, you're one of those holy Joe. They're thinking, well, you're weird, but you're thinking, well, I'm not. I'm on the straight line. I'm walking in the light. I'm not walking in the darkness. I'm not trying to brag, but that's what the word of God will become. So you need to be careful about the company you keep. I know I will never say to anyone, only talk to Christian. How are you going to make them become followers of Christ if you only talk to Christian? but you don't do what they do. You're saying to them, I'm a Christian. If you're going there, I respect you. Whatever decision you make, that's your choice. But I hope you respect me as well. But we need to be careful the company that we keep, because the company that we keep, they will all either encourage us to obey God or to go against God's word. So be warned, the time will come when the word of God will become old-fashioned. Another verses you need to look at is verses 10 to 11. It said, be committed to the truth, the word of God. Only the truth of God's word brings freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You need to be committed to know the truth. The truth is not going to look at you. You come to church, you sit on the chair and say, you're a Christian, you smell Christian, and the word of God will jump into your heart. It doesn't work like that. It has to be intentional. You need to get into the word of God, study God's word when you feel like, study God's word when you don't feel like, until you feel like. It's a matter of life and death. If you do that, God will come alongside you. He will give you the strength that you need to keep going. And of course, we go to there is a cost for the truth. We are reminded the practice of the truth of God's word will not be an easy road. Not everyone will accept you as a Christian. Some people will reject you to your face. Some people will reject you behind you. They will talk about you, and people will not even want to keep your company. So what? If Christ loves you, that's what is most important. You don't need anybody's company that God has not given you. It's going to be a lonely voice. You know, when your enemies reject you, it doesn't bother you because you don't expect any different. But when the people you love the most reject you, that's very painful. And there are people in families, they're the only Christian. And people in the family, they think, he's here now, or she's here now, or they're here now. You have to make up your mind. Are you going to follow Christ regardless, or you're going to try and make friends along the way? I'm not asking you to make enemies, but I want you to remember the promise that there is a cost for the truth. We are reminded the practice of the truth of God's word will not always be an easy road. People are in different situations, different positions at work. There may be time they want you to compromise your faith. They say, we're doing this, we're doing this. Would you join with us? I say, well, no, thanks. You can go ahead and do it. And they can hate you for it and persecute you. You have to be ready to be persecuted and let Jesus fight for you. You can never lose a battle with Jesus. He will fight for you. You always, always, regardless of the situation, be victorious every single time that you put your trust in God. Always. You will never lose the battle. But it takes courage to stand with Jesus when things are tough. It's all right to have faith when, you know, your bank account is doing very well, you know, things are going on well, and you have this plan and that plan. But when everything is dry up, to have faith, that is the time you need to have faith. When all your friends, your family, and everybody you feel they will be with you, when they forsake you, like they did with Jesus, his disciples fled from him, you need to ask yourself, are you going to keep going or are you going to give up? The road to practicing the truth of God's word is a very difficult road. If you become a Christian because somebody encouraged you to become a Christian, that if you give your heart to God, everything will be fine because Jesus will be walking with you. And even when you finish your journey here, you will be in heaven. The Lord will have your name written in the book of life. And if you die before he comes, he will be waiting for you at the other end to receive you into his kingdom. That is true. But if they fail to tell you that Christian life is a difficult life, it's a difficult life. And a lot of people come to church, they think, praise and worship, glory, hallelujah, sing the Lord and praise the Lord. That is one aspect of Christianity. Christianity is a tough road. It's a very, very difficult road, yet it's the best life that anyone can choose. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. Christian life is not a smooth road. And you need commitment. You need courage. You need resilience. You need endurance. You need perseverance. You need all the fruit of the Holy Spirit to keep going, because the road is not going to be easy. And of course, the word of God also tells us the word of God is complete and lives forever. The word of God is completely reliable, and does not change. The word of God is constant.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.